This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I'm joined by a three-time returning guest, Mr. Robbie Hanley. Robbie, how are you doing, mate?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Pleasure that I'm a three-time guest on the Marketing Development Podcast. I sounded like I was a sort of WWE world champion the way you introduced me there, like a three-time champion of the world or whatever.
Welcome to Robbie Hanley. No.
cue the music. yeah, I'm good, mate, thank you. How's things?
Good. Yeah, all good, thank you. And at least I haven't made the same cock up with you that I did with Lee Jackson, where I introduced him as his fourth time guest for his third podcast, which was a little bit awkward, but we left it in because it was a good laugh.
Confidence always is, mate. But
so, yeah, well, you know, when you make a cock up like that, you just gotta accept it and go in. You know, you're committed at that point. You just gotta ride it through. Robbie runs RJH Digital. He's a really good mate of mine, and we've worked together on a number of projects in the past and currently, you know, ongoing. And that's kind of going to form some of what we're going to talk about today. But Robbie, before we get into that, there will be links to your previous episodes, but you just want to give a sort of brief intro as to who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I run RJH Digital. We build ourselves as a full service digital agency. I guess our main specialty is running digital marketing as a service, as we call it, for SaaS companies and small businesses. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's what we do, and we focus mainly on the kind of strategy element, and obviously we do a lot of the execution in-house. Mm-hmm. And we, for the purposes of this episode, we also pull in you know, different resources and different people that we work with, so yeah, that's us in a nutshell.
Absolutely. So the reason this episode came around was that Robbie and I have been working together on a number of contracts over the past, I think it must be nearly 3 years that we've been working together.
Yeah.
Since we met and you treated me to a candlelit lunch in London. in all fairness, the waitress did have to move the candle and she saw two blokes walk in. It was a little strange. we've collaborated on a number of projects, and it started with you needing some SEO support, and then I've needed some social PPC support, which was kind of, I suppose, more your bag before you started RJH Digital and did that sort of full service thing. And we've kind of been able to complement each other with the different services that we need, basically in order to deliver better quality services to our clients. And we've had a new client come through, a cycling company in Scotland, that I've been able to refer on to you. They've placed the contract with you, absolutely brilliant. You're now running some paid social for them. And it just seemed to be a good topic for us to touch on, is actually supporting each other and working with other agencies. So you actually suggested the episode to me, for full disclosure. So here we are talking about it. And it does become a really important part of our workflow, and actually of you know, connecting with you and having that friendship as somebody that's in a similar boat, but just a slightly different service level as well.
Yeah, I think the reason I wanted to get out there was because I was chatting to a kind of freelancer local to me. He's a designer, but he's got a good digital background on him. And he's looking to scale, and he was so nervous about employing the services of other agencies and other freelancers. And you know, I sort of said to him, it's such a big part of what I do now, and it's such a big part, I would say, of almost every agency. And I know at the start I said, you know, we look after SaaS businesses and whatever, but such a big part of our revenue now is actually agency to agency. And Pete, I know you've been busy making SEO Hive, which is, I guess, a more formalized version of what we do, but certainly from a paid social perspective, almost all of my paid social clients are through another agency in some way, shape or form. And I think building, as you mentioned, building those relationships with like-minded people, even if they're competitors. You know, I have no bones about saying that me and Newpeak, we do compete very loosely. You know, we offer PPC, and I know you guys do PPC, but it's not, the relationship is such that it doesn't really matter, because we're learning off each other, and we know that we've got, you know, I know there's Pete and there's a few other guys out there who I know, if it's for things that I'm not strong on, I can naturally refer them in, whether that's on a consultative basis that they're dealing with me, or whether that's, you know, okay, we'll let Pete talk to the end client. I think there was a lot of skepticism previously around that your agency has to be this all-encompassing beast that does everything. And I learned the hard way in that I tried to do everything, and with a particular client, it just fell on its ass, if I'm honest with you. I just didn't have the skill set. And once I woke up to that and realized that, you know, SEO was my weak point as an agency, our weak point, I should say, you know, it made life so much clearer. And if you just are honest with clients and say, look, this is what we do, and we bring in other people and our relationships to fulfill X, Y, and Z, makes your whole relationship and proposition with that client on a completely new level. And I think that's just such an important thing to share with people who are looking to scale, basically.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's that we all seem to like to live behind this perception. Actually, I'm generalizing when I say that, but there is this perception that a lot of people like to live behind, which is that in order to grow, you need to become the open quotes, full service digital agency, close quotes. And the reality is that unless you're going to start employing full-time teams of people that are, you know, 10, 12, 15 people plus, you're realistically not going to cover all of those bases. And as you're trying to scale, either from a freelancer or there's maybe two or three of you in a sort of partnership, up to that level, you can't load that level of risk on such few people. It has to happen organically, and it has to happen over time. And that's where working in partnerships with other agencies that do specialize in different things is so valuable. There's a caveat to that, though, and I know this is where, and I know you said that loosely we are competitors. Yeah, that's absolutely true. But on the same note, there's kind of, I suppose, a gentleman's agreement between us that, you know, I'll introduce you to XYZ client, and I know you're not then going to go and pitch services that I can deliver to that client. You're going to sort of, you know, stay within your remit. You might even recommend services back to me as a sort of kickback, if you like. And likewise, the same works you the way around. When I go into an SEO client, into a client of yours for SEO, I wouldn't dream of offering things like, I don't know, web development or pay-per-click, like you've mentioned, because, if I do mention them, I mention that, you know, this would be a good part of your strategy. Robbie needs to be in this discussion to take this forward for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, it is about finding, and I appreciate people who, you know, are on their own and freelancers. It is about trust, and you don't always have that network of people that you feel that could happen. You know, as you said, I would happily let you walk into one of my clients and talk SEO all day long. I know full well that if any of my stuff popped up, you would immediately mention me, and I have no, you know, I wouldn't even think twice about that. But, you know, where I was 2 years ago when I came on here first time, you know, I didn't have naturally, you know, we had just met, and it was very much the start of our kind of relationship. But, you know, I didn't naturally have that network of people, and I was so paranoid about letting anybody near a client, you know. I just wouldn't, you know, I just think, God, what if they, you know, what if they walk all over me? What if they, you know, they shoehorn their way in there? And as I've, you know, got used to dealing with people and dealing with, especially in the arena I deal in, you know, the sort of SaaS companies, your smaller businesses, it's all about relationships with clients. And, you know, I have actually had a situation where someone did, you know, try to sort of go behind my back, and obviously we don't work with them anymore, but the client just turned around and said, I don't really know what you're trying to do, but my trust is with Robbie, you know, my trust is with that team, and I will take direction from him as to where we go next.
Yeah.
And I think as long as you're comfortable with your relationship with your end client, no one else, no matter if it's a new relationship or an existing relationship, is gonna be able to muscle in. And I would say if they do, then it's not the right client for you, and you've clearly not done a good enough job of building that relationship for them to trust you fully.
You've hit on a very interesting point there, because there is a point whereby when you are starting out and you are kind of working hand to mouth, as it were, that every penny from every client is vital. Yeah. And there's kind of a gear change when, at the moment when you can stop living hand to mouth, and all of a sudden you're dealing in the realms of profit, whereby, you know, your profit exceeds what your own outtakings are. Now, as a freelancer, essentially that's the amount you want to pay yourself. And I've always found that as I've been building businesses, I've had a figure that I'm going to pay myself this per month. And to begin with, that's a target. I need to earn that per month. But once I pass that, I'm not going to bleed the company dry every month just because I can. Then I'm going to start operating more like a business in that respect. And then I can start investing, and I can start, employing the services of other people, either through, the freelancers or through other agencies or whatever it might be. I know that that's a journey that you've been on a little bit through your mentoring program, actually moving from that mentality of freelancer to business. And I think that's what we spoke about last time when you were on the show. There'll be links to your previous episodes in the show notes, so you can go and find those there.
Plug.
Yes, if you want to know all about Robbie's journey, check out, he is actually number 007. He is the James Bond of the of the show. I did have a point that I was going to lead that onto, and it's completely gone from my head. So whether this gets edited out or whether this stays in, yeah, absolutely. Now I've said that, it has to stay in. just rewinding the clock back a little bit then. So, and we originally connected on LinkedIn, but how did you go about starting to build that network of trusted relationships?
I'm lucky in a way that in a previous life, I managed a team within an agency. And a lot of those guys, that agency has since disbanded and, you know, gone their separate ways. But most of the guys in there have now become freelancers. So I was very lucky in the way that I was in, you know, I initially had three or four people who I knew weren't gonna sort of go behind my back or whatever, and I had that trust. So that was nice. And over time, as you find your feet and as things change and as clients change and you kind of begin to understand, I mean, for me, this is my first business. I'm not like you where I've got several. This is my first go at it. And you begin to understand how you like to run things and how things work. And some of those guys have stayed with me. Some of those guys, you know, didn't really fit the philosophy, or, you know, things just didn't work out. So they've, you know, they're still around and they're great people, but, you know, they're kind of, you know, not working with us directly. Mm. So how I've gone about it really is just really focusing on almost harvesting relationships with people I know that I can trust. And I'll give you an example. One of my dad's close friends, who obviously I've known for a long time, he's a sort of investor and does quite well at one of the banks, and, you know, he lives that city life and whatever. And I was poking around for work, but I just said to him, you know, like, I'm looking at the time I was looking for a freelance graphic designer. It really is a case of don't be shy to ask. Because when you ask, I think you build relationships. If you go to someone and you're slightly kind of open and say, look, I'm struggling with this, I think you might be able to help me, no matter what it is. And in that particular time, it was a graphic designer. Mm. My dad said, you know what, talk, the guy's name's Franco. I said, talk to Franco, you know, because you never know. He works, you know, I said to my dad, I said, how on earth is a guy in banking going to know a graphic designer? Anyway, it turns out his youngest son's best friend was a graphic designer fresh out of uni and wanted a chance. And a year later, he's one of my, you know, top contractors, and I use him all the time. And you know, and then once you've got three or four people that you really trust and you know that work in the same way that you work, it's just a matter of keep, you know, every problem you think, well, if I don't have that natural person, how can I build a relationship with someone, you know, to make that happen or to solve that problem? And you know, one thing I'm very big on is I'm quite transparent when I work with people, and I think ultimately that is my golden rule. Yep. You know, everyone that I use, I treat as though I have to go for a pint with them every week. That's my philosophy. So I have to know, I have to be comfortable enough in my own skin that if I was to go for a drink with every one of my contractors once a week for the rest of my life, it would never be awkward, because we are so transparent that everyone knows where they stand, everyone knows the deal, everyone knows what's going on, and everybody's comfortable with it. And you do have to have, you do have to have difficult conversations around, you know, money, and if a client doesn't pay, what happens, and who takes the risk, and all those, you know, all those difficult conversations. But I think as long as you're upfront with people, generally speaking, people are grateful that you've come to them. Yep. And grateful that you want a relationship with them.
I completely agree with that. And you know, some of the people that we've used have been exactly that. It's you know, recommendations from people that you wouldn't even think about it. And you need to get into your head that what's the worst that can happen. So you speak to Frank. I spoke to a bloke called Colin actually, when who runs a fire security business, for like fire and security alarms business for like mega places, like, you know, National Trust type. If they burnt down, then the shizzle is going to hit the fan type places. And sure. And he knew a graphic designer, and it was like, you know, I wouldn't even think about it. But what's you've got to get into your head, what's the worst that can happen is they're going to say, sorry, I don't know anybody.
Mm. I think people are often flattered that you ask them.
Yeah.
Don't think that you're being a pest. I mean, some people will obviously think you're a pest, but that's normal. But you know, that's just part of life. But you know, most people, if you come to them with a problem, they're providing the relationship is a good one, they're relatively flattered. I think they quite like it. I mean, I do. You know, I'll be honest, I do. If you came to me with a problem, say, mate, you know, I really need someone to do this, I really need someone to do that. For me, that's like, okay, you know, me and Pete have got a good relationship, fine, that goes without saying. But yeah, that's nice, you know, because I, you know, people, I think generally speaking, marketing people, we want to help each other.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, I think the slightly bigger agencies and the sort of medium to big agencies are quite competitive. But at our kind of level, you know, it's not a vicious environment, I don't think. You know, people, as I said, people generally speaking want to help each other. They want, you know, they want to keep money moving between agencies and freelancers. So don't be afraid to ask, you know.
Hey, I mean, well, there's two points I want to raise out of that, really. The first is that final thing you said, you know, people want to keep money moving, and you're dead right. At the end of the day, cash flow is king. And you know, sitting on a pot of gold, but not doing anything with it isn't going to get it anywhere. Eventually, it will dry up. Actually, having some money, obviously, this goes with what I said before about passing that point where you've kind of covered your own monthly expenses or whatever. But past that point, actually making money work for you and flowing it in and out of other agencies, etc., freelancers, your contact network. It's an investment that comes back to reward you in the future when they need the reciprocal help. So it's not, you know, it's not like throwing money down the drain. That was the first point. And the second point was, I really liked the thing you said about making sure that you could sit in a pub and have a pint with your contractors every week and it wouldn't be awkward. I think that's a brilliant way of looking at it. And we're in a time where there's so many ways to communicate, whether that's having a Slack channel or whether that's, you and I use WhatsApp. So, you know, just, you don't have to go and find something new and put a new system or process in place for this communication. Sure. Just what's natural. What do you use every day? And, you know, the last message you sent me was, you know, what the hell are we recording this podcast on, or words to that effect. But you know, that it's, you just use the tools that are natural for you, natural for them, and it just becomes, it does become that kind of social interaction at that point.
I agree. I think also anyone, I mean, I came from the corporate world before starting this, and one thing I think is the big difference between relationships on a corporate level and relationships in a small business world is, in a corporate world, you are dealing with, let's just say, the marketing manager of Vodafone, as an example. In this world, you are dealing with Pete, who happens to own SEO and SEO High. You're dealing with the person. You're not dealing with a job title. You're not dealing with a cog in a big system. And like you said, you know, people just want to be communicated to. They don't really care how. As I sit here now, I've got Teams, Zoom, Slack, WhatsApp, and GoToMeeting all open or kind of in the background. People are happy. You know, people are happy to talk and just talk to them. You know, we're not corporate people. You know, we're normal people. And that's one thing I really struggled to get my head around from a communication perspective. You know, when I started, you know, I really struggled with, you know, people emailing me at 8 in the evening. I thought, why are they, a bit ruder than this, but why are they emailing me at 8 in the evening? You know, in the corporate world where I was, that was a big moment. You don't email people late. That was just the culture there. But now I realize, you know, when you're dealing with business owners, small business owners and agency owners, you know, these are real people's lives. You know, these agencies are their livelihoods, and you know, you have to understand that they will work when they're working. You know, they may not be working in the morning, but then they might work afternoon and evening. I know I'm slightly getting off topic, but you know, it does come back to the whole thing that, you know, the culture around the relationships with people. And as I said, you know, treat people like you have to go with them for a pint very much means, you know, if someone drops you a message, just message them back, even if you're busy and it's late. You know, it's a WhatsApp message. It's nothing massive. You know, if somebody needs something, then make sure that you are the person that responds, even if it's not, I can't help or whatever. You know, make sure you are that person, because that relationship, you know, and me and you are living proof of it. You know, that relationship will come back round and benefit everyone. You know, I make no bones about it. I am and will be an even bigger SEO Hive client because I think it's fantastic. And, you know, you've passed me work. So, you know, and that's just through having good, clear communication, obviously being two similar people who get on. But also that, as I said, that communication, that transparency, that's knowing where the land lies, that's having that mutual trust.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that as a freelancer, you know, that could be the difference between you getting to your, you know, your hand to mouth point, get just touching that in the first few months to absolutely smashing straight through it. And before you know it, having some headcount to play with.
Yeah, you're dead right. And there's a few things that you said there. I think the big takeaway from that is that our businesses grow in order to attract bigger clients. And I don't want to say better clients, because bigger isn't always better, but in order to attract bigger clients and charge the move into that whole value based pricing, because the reality of it is, if you're dealing with like mum and pop shops on the high street, it's always going to be time for money. But if you want to start elevating out of that and attracting those bigger clients where you can start doing value based pricing, you don't just wake up one day and start dealing at that level. You've got to build up to it, and you build up by expanding your portfolio and moving from the mum and dad pop shops up to the next level, up to the next level, up to the next level. And over the course of, you know, year, 18 months, 2 years, however long it takes, you're all of a sudden at a very different level than where you started. And this is where being in business it's a marathon, not a sprint. You're in it for the long haul. You are in it to build yourself a better life. Of course you are. We're all in it to do that. But we're not, it isn't something that's realistically going to change overnight.
Yeah.
So by building your own network of relationships for support you know, for supportive services, you know, stuff that you just, hands up, you, there's certain things you're not going to be able to do. Because if you do try and do them on your own, there's a flip side to this as well, then you're A, going to take so long to flipping well do it, you're not going to be time efficient. And B, you're not going to end up with the result at the other end that is best for the client, because you've kind of been, it's like the blind leading the blind all the way through it. Yeah. So it's not really good for anybody. That's not saying don't skill up in certain areas, but just generally speaking, you know, if you're on a plan to scale, then learning new skills as you go and saying yes to everything isn't the way to do it. So you know, you're on that journey, and I am on that journey, and actually we then connect and can build each other's businesses at the same time. There's this whole mutually beneficial side to it, and then there's the non kind of business side benefits to all of this, which is frankly being an entrepreneur can be a bloody lonely place to be. And you know, building a business, feeling like you're solely responsible for it, particularly when you start working with other people, having staff, whatever, there's responsibilities there. And the thing that you actually miss out on the most is that water cooler chat that you would have at your previous employer. And building this network of people that are more than contractors, that then become friends, means that, yeah, you know, look at our WhatsApp feed, and 90% of the stuff in there now is just us shooting the breeze about whatever's happening in life. And then work then comes into it when it's the right time for work to come in. But now you and I have that level of connection that is more friend than contractor.
It's normally having a go at each other about what part of Cornwall we're staying in and how jealous we are.
Absolutely. My kids are loving your Instagram post at the minute, because you've got some new dogs, and they're absolutely biting my arm off to get a chuffing dog. And you know, so see, but that's the point. That's now where our relationship has come to. Yeah. And you know, and then work, it's no longer a work based agreement, it's a friendship which has some work that's built into it.
Yeah, I think that's such a big point, and one thing that I massively underestimated, and I didn't realize it until probably about a year in, as you mentioned, that the water cooler chat, you know, having that person, that those people in you know, in the corporate world who you would, you know, go to Tesco with at lunch and blow off a bit of steam, or you know, tell them what you're frustrated with, and you know, you're so right, you know, and I actually found it more lonely as a freelancer now, where I am now. You know, generally speaking, I have quite a lot of conversations going on. You know, obviously our relationship and other sort of marketing people's relationship, but also you know my team. It's made it so naturally my life, even in lockdown, isn't too much of a lonely place. But certainly in that first year, you know, I was living at my parents at the time, and you know, I would spend days not seeing anyone. You know, not speaking to anyone. You know, just working on the kitchen table at the time, or in my bedroom. And you know, it is like you said, the non-business side of it. And what I think what I learned as a freelancer is, yes, it is the non-business side of it, but what you want to happen is you want the clients to get the best of you. And the way that happens is socially, you have to be comfortable, and you have to have, you know, all the other things that go around your work life. You know, they have to be in place, because if they're not, you know, your clients will feel that. You know, if they're employing you as a freelancer, you normally have quite a close relationship, you know, certainly from a working perspective. And if you're not your best, and you're not feeling comfortable in your life full stop, it can be a very, very difficult, you know, thing to pull off. And having that network of people will only help you to sort of maintain that sort of level of normality. And it is, I think it is something that's massively underrated when you go, you know, the sort of appeal of being a freelancer is a strong one for a lot of people in the corporate world, but it's something that you don't think about, you know, until you get there and you realize, and you think, God, you know, I remember thinking once, my social skills have just gone down the toilet, because I've just not seen anyone. You know, all my uni friends are from Portsmouth. I live in London, so, you know, I don't see much of them. You know, we have a WhatsApp group, you know, that's it. And it is so important. And as I mentioned earlier, that team I managed at the agency, two or three of them are still, we don't use them actually anymore. They've gone off and gone their own way and are doing really well. We are still very, very good friends, and they still come to me with problems that they're having with their clients more. You know, they're scaling up as freelancers, and one's looking to sort of open his own PPC agency and is looking to get headcount and looking to get investment. And whilst we haven't gone the investment route, but, you know, he's come to me and said, you know, what can we do? What processes do I need to put in place? You know, and he's just lent on me, and I'm always happy to do that for him, you know. And I think as a freelancer, you know, that kind of advice is paramount, and it's so important. So yeah, I think it's something that I think is very much underrated in the business world and the small marketing world, these relationships. And I definitely think it's something that my advice to anyone, you know, freelancers would be: spend a day of your week networking. Go and meet people, go and find other people, you know, be very visible, because once you start building those relationships, it'll take you to the next level. I'm confident of it.
Absolutely. So really, the bombshell at the end of this episode is, if you're wanting to build relationships, or it's a good thing to build relationships in this way, and just remember that we're all human.
Definitely. You know, people, everyone you deal with, in this arena is likely not to be putting on a corporate face. You know, you are dealing with real people. You're dealing with the same person who, you're not dealing with someone who goes to work and puts on a brave face. You know, normally they are just who they are at this level. And, yeah, make sure you treat them that way, or if anything, you'll build a bad reputation. You know, there is a flip side of it as well. If you are that kind of hard-nosed person, especially as a service business, I don't know why ever you would want to be hard-nosed, because it shouldn't be in your nature. But there is the flip side to it, where, you know, if you're moving in certain circles and certain people know you, and there is bad, I would almost say it's worse to be someone who's bad at relationships and is negative in a relationship than it is to be bad at what you do. Because if you're bad at what you do, people will tolerate that things didn't work out and whatever. But if you've been outwardly I won't say a swear word, because it probably won't get through the podcast things, but you know what I'm getting at. If you've been that certain person to someone in a relationship, your reputation will go down the pan quicker than you can imagine. I've actively been put off using people because I've heard that they've been, you know, not sticking to basic rules of engagement and not, you know, looking after the relationship as a whole. And if the moment I hear, or even if I sense that in someone that I'm meeting for the first time, I kill it stone dead. I just, no, I'm not using this person. And I think there's a lot of people, I don't know if you're like that, Pete, but I think there's a lot of people like that in this world.
Yeah, it's, at the end of the day, I use the kind of analogy that we all go into business to make life easier for ourselves. I didn't set up a business to make life hard for myself. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And because of that, you need to build a team, and you need to build relationships that are complementary to who you are and what you do. And the reality of it is that it's not my role or responsibility to try and make somebody else fit my model. They either fit it or they don't. And that's not an I'm better than you kind of opinion. It's just we're all that. One of the joys of the human race is we're all different, and naturally you're going to get on with some people better than you're going to get on with others. So I came to peace with the fact that, you know what, if somebody doesn't fit the way that I want to work, the way that I want to get on, then no hard feelings. You go your way and I'll go mine, because there'll be somebody else out there that will fit it. Yeah, and definitely, it's definitely far less hard work for me to go and find that other person than it is to try and make you fit my model. Because ultimately we're just going to come to loggerheads and nobody's going to be happy. So
I agree with that. And that's the same for clients, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
There's many, there's as many agencies out there as there are clients, and they're not all right. I mean, I know you did your episode the other day on how to fire a client, but I think there's also, I will shamelessly suggest, there's also probably an episode in there about how to choose the right client and, yep, when to run a mile, because you know you will get those clients that aren't right for your style, but then there's some agencies where, you know, they will be dead right. So yeah, I think it works for more than just agency to agency, doesn't it? Works for clients too.
Absolutely, and there's no harm. The other thing is, there's no harm in accepting that sometimes you're going to get it wrong, and and that's the cost, that's the risk of putting yourself out there. But if you go into the right mindset, you're going to get it right a hell of a lot more times than you're going to get it wrong. And as long as you know how you're going to deal with it if it's not right, then you're in a good place.
Yeah, so, definitely.
That's my take on it anyway. Mate, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you finding the time to come and be on the show again. If people want to reach out to you, I know you're in our Facebook group, but what's the best way for people to get in touch?
Yeah, so you're obviously welcome to comment on the Marketing Development Podcast, but if you want to get in touch, my email is me, which is spelled with an IE, at rjhdigital.com. Or you can go to rjhdigital.com and just fill in the contact form. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. You know, I'm sure that you're connected with Pete, so I'm on his connection list. So, and as I said to everyone who's starting out, if it's just you just want to chat, or you just want to lend an ear, or you just want to ask a question, I don't pretend to be an expert, but you know, me and both Pete are living it, so you know, it's always good to try and help people.
Absolutely, mate. Thanks again, and let's tee up number 4, because this has been a great episode. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, mate. See you later.